It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, because it's a Friday, and we got the Packers coming to town on Sunday night. Here we go. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Kamali and Mac. Plenty to talk about today. Aaron Rodgers says it's not a revenge game. Micah Parsons talked about Aaron Rodgers and how he plans to get to him on Sunday night. We got Matt Schneidman from Green Bay to give us the Packers' perspective on this whole thing as the Steelers try to bounce back after that ugly loss to the Cincy Bengals down in Northern Kentucky and go to 5-2. Maybe take control. They got to control the division, but take more control of the division. We'll give you picks for the rest of the weekend's games too and a bunch of nonsense. We appreciate you joining us. As always, we got to thank our good friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show. Check them out, southwestgreens.com, southwestgreenspa.com. Sorry. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. How about that? Yeah, because it's not real grass, but it looks, acts, and feels like real grass. Perfect for the entire backyard, just a little corner of the backyard, an area around the kids' play set. A good spot for the pets as well. Safe for everybody. Stop spending all the time, money, and maintenance on your yard and get Southwest Greens in there today. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. Don't forget to subscribe to everything on social media at Kamali and Mac, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course, subscribe on YouTube. Once we get to that magical 3018 number, somebody's going to get their choice. Either an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet, who, by the way, is back in practicing, or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. Your choice. How about that, Kaboom? How you doing? You get any sleep?
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago. No.
You get plenty of pumpkin spice creamer in your coffee?
It's regular cream, man. It's just regular cream. And I accidentally put it on too long, and it overflowed everywhere.
Why would you microwave it for 3 minutes?
I must have thought I hit the 30-second button. I don't know. Instead of the 30-second button, I hit the 30, and I just walked away. I might have relieved myself. I'm not quite sure. And I come back, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
You got a mess in the microwave.
Yeah, I cleaned it up. Don't worry.
Good job by you.
Hey, you might go get a car tomorrow, brother. How about this?
Whoa, you're actually going to pull the trigger.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what kind of deal I can get, then I'll mention the place.
That's nice. That's real nice. Who helped set this up for you? Or you go? Did you actually put on your big boy pants and get this all taken care of on your own?
Oh, I need some help with that crap.
Yeah, I thought so.
We'll see. We'll see how it works out. You know how it is. You only go there. I'm just looking, and I'll be pressured into something.
Well, I mean, don't allow yourself to be.
I understand that. I ain't a tough guy like you, man. I don't drink my coffee black.
2 cups of black coffee down already this morning. I'm done with it already. You got to retweet the link to the show because your link is broken. I don't know what you did.
How's my link broken?
I don't know. It says show not available.
Well, mine's working. Not available.
Mine's working. Yours isn't.
Are live, it says.
I'm just telling you what it says on the Twitter machine. Anyway, that's why you got to watch on YouTube. That way there's no problem.
What are you talking about? I think you need to settle down.
Okay. No, I'm all settled. I want to go through the status of a couple players going into this game in just a second. And like I said, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. Well, you couldn't even get your headphones.
It's working. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. If you say so. You couldn't get AirPods connected. You're just a disaster over there.
You're the one that got the free toaster with that computer or something. I'm not quite sure. Do they still give free toasters at the bank if you open up an account?
No, they don't give you shit at the bank. They give you fees. How about that?
7 cents worth of interest after 6 months. Yeah, what a racket a bank is. Think about that. They take your money, they invest your money, and they give you 7 cents. Serious.
You excited about the Penguinos? Real quick, before we get started here.
I'm just thrilled.
That doesn't sound... Come on.
Why would I be thrilled?
I mean, you could be excited that They just beat the reigning Stanley Cup champs on the road.
This isn't football or when that actually means something. In what are we, October?
We're 10% of the way into the season.
Oh, you know what? If the season ended today.
If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, whatever.
Whatever, man.
I mean,
you complain about Pittsburgh sports fans, and then you act like one when it comes to the
Penguins. No, because why would I get hyper over, like, eight games?
No one's getting hyper. No one's getting hyper. But hyper? You start – I'm not hyper at all. You start the season 6-2, you might want to be a little happy. That's all I'm saying. Good things are happening.
Are they? Or are you just getting lucky?
Nah, good things are happening. Anyway. Thanks as well to our good friend Arch down at Archie's. You're looking for a place to watch all the games this weekend or any day of the week. Archie's on Carson is the way to go. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Great wings, of course, Monday through Thursday nights. They're just 80 cents. We had Tone Diggs on the other day talking about the gloriousness that are Archie's wings. Also, great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, too. The whole menu's delicious. Get down there, get something to eat, watch the games, get a nice cold iron or IC light. Might have to get a nice cold IC light tonight. Wife's going out with her friends. The kids are going to the high school football game. I'm just going to sit on a couch by myself.
Wait, shouldn't you be going to Primanti's?
No, she's going out with friends for someone's birthday or something. I don't know.
Can't you just, like, go by yourself?
Yeah, I don't want to be that weirdo sitting at the corner of the bar.
What did Joe Flacco say?
What?
That's heaven. That's heaven. The guy eating at the bar by himself. Yeah. I tend to agree with Joe Flacco.
All by myself. If I'm going to be by myself, I'll be on my couch.
You know the best part
watching game one of the World Series.
The best part of eating by yourself at the bar is when they bring the bill and it's for one and not four.
That's true. A little cheaper that way. So a couple questions about the injury report. Zach Frazier was limited with a calf injury. Calvin Austin III was a full participant. So one or both or none of these guys going to play on Sunday because Frazier would be a pretty big absence.
Well, Calvin looked pretty good. I mean, he made some catches, full, like you said, full practice. So unless there's some sort of setback, I could see him going. Zach Frazier's a tough guy, man. You think a strained calf muscle is going to keep him out?
I didn't think so, but you know,
there's a potential of that happening, but I wouldn't anticipate that. I mean, he's had a sleeve on it all week, and you know what I've noticed about him talking to him the other day is, I mean, this is not a rip on him or anything, but he's went from college player to pro player, mm-hmm. as in you could tell he's been in the weight system, the
getting kind of buff,
weights, hitting the food, correct food, putting on the salt, you know, more of the lean muscle. You could see that he's getting bigger, but not getting bigger. You know what I'm saying? You can really notice.
Kind of like with Darnell this offseason. No more stops at Sheetz, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while. I go there all the time.
One of his kids is big into like the TJ athletics thing. She's, I want to say like a middle schooler maybe, but,
basketball, baseball.
I don't know.
Softball, cheerleading.
I hear things. Basketball. My kids aren't involved in that. My daughter's too old. She's busy wrecking cars in the high school parking lot. And, my son's
That parking lot's relatively open. How can you wreck a car in a high school parking lot?
I'm not going to get into the details of it, but when there's two teenage girls driving cars and one's backing out of a spot and another one is not paying attention, you tend to have collisions.
Honestly, that's why you got the backup cameras that go boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I'm not permitted to get into the details of it. Because then everybody will get mad at me. All right, one more person I wanted to ask about personnel-wise. Because he barely played at all in the fourth quarter in Cincinnati. He didn't play at all on the final drive. Only played 22 snaps the whole game. And Terrell Austin the other day tried explaining it away as like, well, you know, they did some things we didn't expect. I'm paraphrasing there, talking about Cincinnati. Nick Herbig. We saw the impact of Herbig. We've seen the impact of Herbig since he got an opportunity to play. But we've seen the impact as well of the Herbig, Highsmith, Watt trio being on the field at the same time. Do you suspect they will not go out of their way, but they'll make it a point to get Nick Herbig on the field some more?
I think they need to get him on the field more, but, I mean, situations do dictate a lot of this stuff here. I mean, there wasn't long drives. There's 7-8-play drives where you're going to keep the same guys in there. And if it's true, first of all, Terrell Austin's not going to – even if he believed differently than what he said – Mike Tomlin came out 2 days earlier and said, this is the reason. He's not going to say, nah, my head coach is full of crap. So he pretty much had to say what he had to say. And, I mean, was it that much? What is the perfect number here? Do you want him just have a third, a third, a third? I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have the lesser of the snaps right there. And,
in my opinion, there should be a pretty clear hierarchy, right? Like, Watt's obviously one of the best in the game. He should be out there as many snaps as physically possible. Yeah. Highsmith, you want out there a lot as well. And then Herbig, I mean, when you call a guy a 12th starter, I mean, that implies that he's going to be next on the list for defensive snaps. And I get it. They're like they say all the time, they're not counting snaps when they're on the sideline on a game day. Totally understand it. And the way the Bengals were running the ball, maybe they felt like they didn't want Herbig in there and they preferred Highsmith.
That's probably what it was. I mean, they probably figured out that they were struggling stopping the run and they wanted more of the run stoppers in that position where Herbig normally plays at when all three of them are on the field at the same time. So you'd much rather have Queen and Peyton Wilson and or Cole Holcomb out there. But that's something I wouldn't sit there and worry about, that he's not getting any time. Even if he was getting more snaps, do you think he was going to get to Flacco in his 2.2 seconds? I don't think he was.
Not with the basic stuff they were running, no. Flacco was dissecting them because he knew exactly what was coming or not coming.
Just like Freiermuth last week, what do we say? Even if you decide to run the jumbo package, you got to get him involved. So I'm not saying here not getting Herbig involved more, but you have to find a way to get him involved. Make sure he should be in the back of your – in the front of your mind.
Right.
We need Nick out there. We need him to find a place to get him out there. What happens if they run the ball and we have to go to more of a traditional set? How are we going to get him in the game more? I mean, I would assume that's brought up, but maybe it wasn't against the Bengals because they were the worst team in the league in running the ball.
I mean, I hate to say it because it's a cliche at this point with Steeler fans, but it really does feel like they just got out-prepared and out-coached last Thursday night. I don't want to keep breaking that game down, but that's what it feels like. They went into that game expecting one or two things and got a completely different set of things.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that they, first of all, thought they were going to be able to run the ball like they did. Then now all of a sudden that switches a bunch of things up and makes everybody look vulnerable. So, I do believe Hayward saying you need to stop the run, you need to stop the run. Then you were able to do a bunch of the other stuff. So, you out-coach Minnesota, maybe you get out-coached a little bit. Honestly, I still am a big firm believer that Joe Flacco played a Hall of Fame caliber game. I mean, I honestly think the guy was flawless.
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 I mean, I'm just scrolling through here, and I see – I only see like – I'm only through one quarter. But there weren't a lot of third and longs for Cincy. So they were in third and manageable a good bit.
Because of the run, because of the quick throws, because of the slants, of course, yeah.
In fact, if I scroll all the way through, I only see a handful – well, hold on. I'm almost through the game, the play-by-play here. I know this is exciting for anybody to watch. There were 3 third and longs for the Bengals after the first quarter, 3rd and 7 or longer. And they've only converted one of them, I think. Yeah, so
don't worry about that.
So
I think we might not see this week. I don't think we're going to see.
No nipple rubbers.
Not as much as I think.
Not as
I
much of the Isley's package, the jumbo package.
I think this might be the step back game in that, you know.
Really? See, I think we might get as much
there. You're going to be up there 30% of the time, though.
I think we might get as much of it as ever because you want the extra help to eliminate Parsons. We'll get to Parsons in a second. I want to focus for just a second on what Rodgers had to say. He was obviously asked the other day if this is a revenge game.
Revenge opportunity or whatever narrative we want to try to throw out there?
I don't. Why not? Well, Brett got traded, and then he went to one of the hated rivals. You know, I was in New Jersey for a couple of years. I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. And this is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football again.
Look, he's saying all the right things.
Yeah, you know, look on his face like, yeah, you're going to get me to say this. Yeah, right.
You fully know that Aaron Rodgers wants to go in there and like Rick Vaughn walking into Lou Brown's office when he thinks he's been cut. I'm going to shove it up your ass.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I believe that or not. I think he might want to do that to the outside world. And Green Bay just happens to be that avenue that he needs to take to get there. I mean, they drafted Jordan Love, and he was 2-time MVP after that. What does he have to prove to them?
Well, it did hasten his departure from Green Bay, did it not, when they drafted Jordan Love?
Well, at that time, you're 37, maybe 30, and you have 2-time MVP. I think this is a good opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to middle finger it to all those people that say, you suck, you're a piece of garbage, you're a cancer, you're an organization killer, you're cooked, you're crap. I think that's more of a motivation than saying, okay, let's go play the Green Bay Packers, and there's about four people on that team that I actually played with.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't hold any animosity toward the organization, and I buy that to an extent. I think there will be points where, you know, he'll throw a touchdown pass and he'll give it that little Aaron Rodgers jump hook that he does with the fist pump. You want to see the discount double check?
Take that back.
I think there are times where that'll happen and he'll want to just give a little glimpse over to the sideline towards the floor and be like, still got it, pal. And so I don't think it's with hate in his heart or anything like that, but I think anytime. We talked about this before they opened up against the Jets. Anytime you play a former team, it's like Cam Hayward says, why they give out the petty game balls. Anytime you play your former team, there's a certain amount of extra motivation on top of things. And you want to go out and show maybe not the guys on the sideline. A lot of them might still be your friends, or in Rodgers' case, you don't even know them in the first place, but you want to show them you still got it. And I think that is a factor because Aaron Rodgers is, like Tone said the other day, he already knows mentally what he wants to do on every play, right? His head is the best weapon available to him this year. And I think that extra emotional motivation, I think it just serves to heighten his senses when he's out there. And like I said, make him want to shove it up everybody's butt who thinks he's done and cooked. And I don't think there's as many people out there anymore who think he's done and cooked after the way he's played the first 7 weeks.
I don't see anybody jumping on the old soapbox.
No.
They're just dying for a bad game. They're dying for it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people still expect Jordan Love to go out there and outplay Aaron Rodgers and kind of prove to the Packers and their fans and the rest of the league that they made the right move when they decided a couple years before Rodgers started to hit the backslide, as it were, or the back third of his career, whatever you want to call it, that they made the right move to have the next quarterback ready. But I think outside of the Steelers secondary, which is a massive question mark, given the way they've covered a couple times this year or failed to, I don't see how there's a quarterback a massive quarterback advantage on either side.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Steelers have the advantage offensively, honestly. I mean, Jacobs hasn't been a world beater quite yet, but mm-hmm. he has that potential to be that. The receivers are, there's no clear-cut wide receiver one DK Metcalf on this team. And Jordan Love, like many quarterbacks, don't like to be pressured. If he sits back in the pocket, he'll pick you apart. But I mean, it's not like it's even defensively. They haven't played well defensively when the same type of energy they had when they got Micah Parsons doesn't seem like it's maybe we're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, they're second in the league against the run, which is a concern that I have. Yeah. That if the Steelers can't get the ball going on the ground, they're going to be.
They also played with Cleveland. I mean, they're a good team. I'm not saying they're not a good team. It'd be probably their best win of the season if they win this one. But I don't think they're infallible, whatever that word is.
Infallible? No, nobody's infallible. Nobody's perfect. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. They've been on board since the very beginning. We couldn't do it without them and all of our sponsors. But if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they're the people to take care of you. Go to heckteamhomes.com to check out all the listings. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a home, they'll take care of you in either regard. Make sure you end up in the perfect home for you and your family. Heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We'll get to what Micah Parsons had to say in just a couple of minutes, but why not get a Green Bay perspective on all this kaboom? Why not go to a man who covers the Packers absolutely every single day from The Athletic? Matt Schneidman joins us now. Matt, good morning, friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. Look at the stash. Holy mackerel. Wow. You
like that?
Not really, but I mentioned this before.
You're just jealous you can't grow one.
Yeah, I'm taking fashion choices from Mark Caboli on this Friday morning. That's a good start to my day.
Let me bring this up. I do believe Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago was a little bit critical of your Crocs and socks, right?
Yeah. So the brief story behind that was, you know, I'm a Crocs, a comfort guy, and there was a training camp. I think it was 2020 or 2021, and I wore Crocs with socks to just like a short training camp practice because I didn't want my bare feet sweating in front of people. And he was making fun of me. And I jokingly tweeted, you know, at Packers, your starting quarterback is bullying me because of the Crocs I'm wearing. And I kid you not, the official Crocs account DM'd me and was like, hey, and my tweet went viral because Rodgers retweeted it with the gift from The Hangover. I think it was of, I forget who it was, of whoever said you're too stupid to insult. And the official Crocs account DM'd me and was like, thank you so much for the free publicity. What size are you? We'll send you something. So Crocs sent me like a box of 20 different pairs of Crocs. It was awesome.
Ooh, you know what? Dude Wipes did that to me a couple months ago. They did. So it was very similar. Hey, there's no such thing as something bad that's free. If it's free, it's for me, right?
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. So Packers beat reporter and Crocs ambassador Matt Schneidman here with us on Caboli and Mac. Let's start with this. We just got done playing the clip of Aaron from the other day at the Steelers facility where he said, hey, this is not a revenge game. And we talked about it a little bit. I don't think it's a revenge game in so much as Rodgers wants to shove it up the rear end of anybody standing on that sideline. I do think, you know, once he throws a touchdown pass, he's going to give, like I just said to Mark a minute ago, he's going to give it that little hop and fist pump and maybe a little wink towards the floor. But, other than that, like, I just think anything that heightens Rodgers' awareness and senses on a game day is enough for him to play like he's played to this point this year, which is going out there, diagnosing everything before the snap, making good reads, doing smart things with the football. And so I think in that way, it is an extra motivation to Rodgers and that, hey, everybody thought I was cooked. And now I'm going to show everybody on Sunday Night Football, as he said, that I still got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think a couple of things here. In the literal sense of, is it a revenge game? I don't think so. With the Jets, it was more so because he really felt that they wronged him. He understands, especially with the passing of time, what the Packers were doing, and deep, deep down probably agrees with it. But he can still use that as a bit of a slight. I think he had a Zoom with us yesterday, just Packers reporters, for about 10 minutes, and he said, what do I have to avenge? They paid me a lot of money. a lot of the best things in my life are because of my football career, which started and will end one day in Green Bay. So from the literal sense of, is it a revenge game? I believe him. Now, is it just any other game? Like Micah Parsons told us before the Packers went back to Dallas a couple weeks ago, he said, it's just any other game. No, we're not that dumb to think it is. And Aaron acknowledged that yesterday. He goes, yeah, it's 1-17, but I spent 18 years there. This one's a little bit different. Obviously, as he told you guys, it is not the same as if this game were in Lambeau. That would kind of add another layer to this. And another thing, I do a podcast with John Kuhn, former Steeler, called The Tundra. And we had David Bakhtiari on, who was Rodgers' left tackle for 10 years. And both John and Dave, who know Rodgers well, were teammates with him for a decade each, said, don't get it twisted. We know him, and he wants to beat the Packers badly. He's not going to come out and say it. But there may be a couple people he wants to shove it toward. He infamously told me a couple years ago that he did not like Brian Gutekunst, just straight up said that. And, you know, who knows about his relationship with Matt LaFleur? LaFleur said, we have a great relationship. But, you know, I haven't heard Rodgers mention LaFleur much since he left. I could be reading too much into it. But there's no doubt he wants to win this game badly, probably for more reasons than we know on the surface. But revenge game, I don't think so.
Matt, you saw him in New York the past couple of years, and he looked like a shell of himself. I'm sure you've seen him enough this year to have an opinion on him. Did you ever think this Aaron Rodgers was still inside? He's been absolutely a darling to work with, so to speak. I mean, honestly, he's done everything, said everything right, but his physical ability does not look like it's waned at all.
No, and I think about what Keyshawn Nixon, the Packers' number one corner, told us in the locker room this week. And Keyshawn was new here in 2022 and developed a close relationship with Rodgers. They still talk today. I asked Keyshawn what he's seeing from 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And am I allowed to swear on here?
Yes. Hell yeah.
Keyshawn said, that shit looks the same. it's his arm and his brain is what Keyshawn said, and that's not going anywhere. He said he can't move as much as he used to, but he doesn't really run anyway. So I think the physical ability, I'm not stunned that it's not there. We all know this. Any NFL fan knows this. Careers, and especially quarterbacks, go to die in New York. So I didn't read too much into that, especially because he dealt with some nagging and significant injuries the last 2 years. The arm talent and the brains up here are always going to be there. It's the movement and the ability to take all those hits that is probably going to start to wane. But this is a guy who has spent 21 years in this league, not by accident. He knows how to take care of his body. And I think he's probably going to be licking his chops looking at some of the performances the Packers secondary has put on the last couple weeks.
You mentioned this isn't at Lambeau, obviously, but Aaron also mentioned the other day, I guess yesterday, actually, when he talked to you guys, the opposing media market conference call, that when he retires, he'll do it as a Green Bay Packer. If this were at Lambeau, what do you think the reception would be like?
I think it would be resoundingly positive. I was talking to Rob Domofsky, who's covered the Packers for ESPN since 1998, I think, and he was just telling me about how different this is from when the Packers first played Brett Favre when he was with the Vikings. Favre goes to the Jets a year, then goes to the Vikings. There was so much more animosity, Rob said, toward Favre, toward the Packers. It was just a more heated situation. I think Packer fans understood the team moving on from Rodgers. I think there were probably a lot more fans now who were in agreement with that, despite the uncertainty around Jordan Love, than they were with Ted Thompson moving on from Brett Favre and Mark Murphy as well in that decision. And obviously, what has happened since with Jordan Love, he's turned out to be great, a franchise quarterback. They agree with that. And I think Rodgers is, I wouldn't say he's better than Brett Favre, but I think in today's day and age, there's just less animosity toward him. The passing of time, it's been a couple of years since Rodgers last played for the team. So I really do think that if this game was in Lambeau, it would be the tribute video, the standing ovation, everything. Like, I think Packer, I had one Packer fan text me yesterday saying that they were thinking about rooting for Rodgers just because of how much they still love Rodgers. I think that's crazy. I think you still got to root for the Packers if you're a fan. But yeah, I think it would be nothing but positive if it was here.
No, Packers acquired, of course, Micah a couple months ago now. At that point, the defense was considered, I would say, what, elite at the time. Has it lived up to what everybody was thinking this defense was going to be like when they acquired Micah, or is it still a work in progress in your mind?
I think Micah has lived up to what people thought he would be, maybe not the defense as a whole. The quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball quick to neutralize Micah and the Packers pass rush. And obviously Aaron does that incredibly well. I think Next Gen Stats had him as the third fastest release time in the league behind Mahomes and Dylan Gabriel. Every team has pretty much blocked Micah Parsons with two or three guys, and the Cardinals chose not to for some reason last week, and he had three sacks for the first time in his career, four pressures in the fourth quarter, two sacks in the fourth. Micah, I think I saw a stat from NFL Research saying that he's the only player in the NFL to be double-teamed on over 20% of his pass rush snaps and to have a pressure percentage of over 20%. He has been as advertised, even if the sacks haven't always been there, because of how he's opening things up for other guys when he does draw double teams and because of how he's affecting a lot of plays. The defense as a whole, you know, they have, I think, the number one run defense in the NFL. They're top 10 in points, top 10 in passing yards. I think they're first in yards per play allowed. The one difference, and this is in part because of that quick release time that guys like Prescott and Flacco and Brissett have used, is the lack of takeaways. The Packers ranked fourth in the NFL last season with 31 takeaways. They have only three this year through six games. Now it's in part because of guys not being in the right spot at the right time, but it's also because teams are just really just dinking and dunking their way down the field against them. So from that regard, they haven't lived up to what kind of we expected, but they're still a top 10 defense and playing pretty well with the front runner for the defensive player of the year.
You mentioned the run defense, Matt. What's gone into that? And is that something that we should expect on Sunday night? Because the Steelers early in the year had their troubles getting the run game going. Their offensive line has started to gel and come together and play a lot better the last few weeks. But the Packers are only giving up 76 yards a game on the ground.
Yeah, it's crazy because this is my seventh year covering this team now. And my first couple of years were covering – well, my first 5 years were covering Mike Pettin and Joe Barry as defensive coordinator. And the first year I covered this team, they made it to the NFC Championship game and gave up, I think it was 286 or 225 rushing yards to the 49ers and Raheem Mostert, 186 before contact or something. They had a bad rushing defense for the first 5 years I was here. And the last 2 years, I think last year they were sixth. This year they are first under Jeff Hafley. It's a number of different things. I think the scheme, but also kind of the personnel. It's interesting because they lost arguably their two best run defenders, TJ Slayton, who's with the Bengals now, kind of a big ass run stuffing nose tackle. And then Kenny Clark, who they traded to the Cowboys in the Micah Parsons deal. And Jerry Jones infamously said we were trying to improve our run defense by getting rid of Micah. He's been amazing against the run. You have guys like Devontae Wyatt, who was a 2022 first-round pick, who's played great. Colby Wooden, who was a sixth-rounder a couple years ago, has been playing great. Rashawn Gary, who might be one of the better number two edge rushers in the league. He's been the number one here for years, and with Micah, he's the number two. I just think rallying to the ball, creating penetration at the line of scrimmage, it's been really solid to see. And I think the only way I think the Steelers really have a legitimate chance to win this game is if they can really get their run game going. And it's been tough to do that against the Packers this year.
Matt, does Packers have enough weapons for Love right now? And I talk about wide receivers. I got Kraft, who's obviously one of the elite tight ends, but they're outside guys. Have they come along a little bit slower than maybe anticipated?
I wouldn't say that. It's just the Packers don't have that bona fide number one like a DK Metcalf or any of these other guys around the league. And they have probably like six number twos and number threes. They have Golden and Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, who tore his ACL in week 18 last year. thinks he's making his season debut on Sunday, granted in a limited capacity. Dontayvion Wicks probably won't play. Tucker Kraft is kind of like a wide receiver, like you said, Mark. So they really like spreading the ball around. Until last week, when Tucker Kraft got 10 targets, the Steelers and the Packers were the only two teams in the NFL not to target a player at least 10 times in a game through the first 6 weeks of the season. So the Packers really spread the ball around. That's the way they've done it ever since Devontae Adams left. I think to answer your question, they have enough weapons, and Jordan Love does a really good job finding whoever's open on a given play. And I think it's enough for their passing game. I think you don't have that maybe gotta have it guy like Devontae Adams was, who got 14 targets a game, but I still think they have plenty to really make this thing go. They've scored 27 points in all four of their wins, and they scored 40 in the tie against the Cowboys. So it's not like they're not putting up points.
Mike Tomlin on Tuesday, when he had his weekly press conference, pointed out that the Steelers got gashed by long runs. It wasn't that they necessarily got ground into the turf against Cincinnati, but they've given up long runs to guys like Zach Charbonnet, to Chase Brown. Is there a hope that Josh Jacobs still has a few home runs left in him? Because despite the fact that he's got 8 touchdowns, I don't think he's got a run longer than 19 yards this year. So he hasn't been ripping off the big ones. He's chugging along at like 3.7 yards a carry. Are they going to lean on Jacobs knowing that the Steelers have had their issues with the run, or do they go, wait a second, Joe Flacco just carved them up? No, we're going to let Jordan do what he needs to do.
That's the benefit for the Packers offense this week, is they can kind of pick whichever area they want to go at the Steelers. And I think they can in both regards. You're right though. Jacobs isn't necessarily that home run hitter. He's obviously fast, but he's more of a wear your ass down as the game goes on. And then in the fourth quarter, he's going to have a couple 15-yard runs that just take your soul away, breaking 3 or 4 tackles en route to, you know, closing the game out, which is what he did against the Cardinals last week. He did it against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, did it against the Lions when the Packers beat them pretty handily in week 1. He starts off slow, and that's in part because of probably his running style, the offensive line, the defense playing well. But then as the game goes on, teams just get tired of Josh Jacobs ramming into them for 3 full quarters. And then they finally kind of soften up. But I think a lot of it, too, is teams have been playing the Packers in 2 shell just to keep everything in front. And the Packers have taken advantage of that as games have gone on. And light boxes, because teams were stacking the box against the Packers early in the season and early in games. So Josh Jacobs, I think, is one of the better running backs in the league. And you know, he's going to wear you down, but he's not going to, I don't think, you know, knock on wood, going to have those, you know, 25, 50-yard runs that we see from some other guys.
I guess the big question I would have is, any new tattoos?
No, I have my full right arm covered. I have no space for any more, and I have no desire to get any more on any other part of my body.
Well, you have I think on Pat's show, they thought we were beefing or something at one time.
No, I have the whole right arm covered. I'm doing this wrong, but there's no space left for anything else.
You have a Syracuse hat on, so I have to ask. Do you plan on getting your nipples pierced if the Packers lose this game? We have Andrew Filippone here in Pittsburgh, who's getting his nipples pierced after the loss to the Bengals.
Is he actually?
He's actually doing it. Yeah, they're doing it for charity. So
okay, no, I don't plan on doing it. The only thing that would make me consider getting another tattoo somewhere is if the Yankees won the World Series. I'm a diehard New York Yankees fan, have been for my entire life, and that would be the only other tattoo I would get.
You might have to wait a year.
I might have to wait a lot longer than that.
Might have to wait just a little bit longer than that, which is kind of funny.
You could be a Pirates fan, Matt.
No, thanks.
Well, here's another one. You know, I've been to Green Bay a number of times. What is your mode of transportation from Green Bay to Pittsburgh? There's no easy way to go. Are you a Chicago drive guy? Are you a Green Bay guy? Do you drive somewhere halfway here? Do you go to New York? I mean, how are you getting here?
There's no easy mode of transportation for anywhere out of Green Bay. They the Green Bay airport only flies direct to Chicago, Detroit, and Minneapolis. And the joke, and it's not really a joke, is that's the only reason people leave or come to Green Bay is for divisional games. So there's one flight every day to and from Atlanta. But Pittsburgh, I'm just connecting in Chicago tomorrow and then flying to Pittsburgh. That's how I do every away game, is I connect in Chicago, Minneapolis, or Detroit, and then go on my merry way. The airport does add, I think, a direct flight for each away game, but they do that closer to the game's date, and I book all my flights right when the schedule comes out, so I'm out of luck.
They still have the two gates at the Green Bay Airport, or are they up to three now?
I think they have a total of 12.
Oh,
which is a lot.
Oh, I mean, I'm sitting here ripping on it in Pittsburgh. You can't get a direct flight out of here if you're
right
dependent on it. So, yeah.
I'm not sure where you're going with that one, Kaboom.
Yeah,
but
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know. Give us an official prediction, Matt, before we let you run.
Yeah, I think earlier I said 27-21 Packers. I'm just going to keep predicting they score 27 because that's how many points they score every time they win. I just think, and maybe this is recency bias, what I saw watching that game last Thursday night, I think there are too many ways the Packers offense can put up some points against the Steelers. The one thing that gives me reservation is Jordan Love's been really good at taking care of the ball. He's only thrown two interceptions this year, lost one fumble. Steelers are really good at taking the ball away, setting up their offense in advantageous positions, like you guys know. If that happens, this could be a dicey one. And the Packers haven't exactly put opponents away of late that they should have. The Browns, Cowboys, Bengals, Cardinals, they've all been tight games. So I think the Packers have enough to get this one done. I don't know how much the Aaron Rodgers wanting to beat the Packers factor is worth in terms of points on the spread, but I'm going to go 27-21 Green Bay.
That's good. Two stuff, for man. Two now. I mean, oh, the Jay Morrison picked the Bengals to win last week, and we laughed at him, so much for that.
I just think the Packers, even though it hasn't been pretty the last couple weeks, they didn't really put away Joe Flacco and the Bengals. They lost to Joe Flacco and the Browns, which is still blows my mind. They came back from down double digits against the Arizona Cardinals last week, but they're in all these games, and I think this could be the week where they finally maybe pull away and the Steelers get a late score or something. I just think that Micah Parsons and his pass rush and this defense can limit the Steelers' offense enough.
One last thing. I was talking to Aaron the other day, I think Monday, and he brought up of how much he liked Domofsky. You know, he's one of his favorites. He didn't mention you, though.
No, well, I wouldn't expect that because I only covered him for 4 years. Rob covered him for 18 years. I need to do more time to earn that.
He didn't mention nothing about you. I keep forgetting to bring it up to him.
That's okay. I'm not offended.
A lot more time in the future to keep covering the Packers.
The Croc and Sox guy would be remembered.
That's okay.
Hey, what's the moral of the story? Always mention some company and they might give you something for free.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know that.
Who likes Crocs?
Matt, we appreciate the time this morning, man. Kabali will see you on Sunday night, and we'll catch up with you again soon, man. Thanks.
Well, Hollis is Heinz Field, press box, standing room only, so get ready, I hear.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you, Matt. Matt Scheinman of The Athletic covers the Packers and does so very well, even if he hasn't been doing it for two decades like Rob Domofsky. So this is 2 weeks in a row now, Kaboom. We've had the opposing beat writer on, and they've picked the other team.
Well, how can't you not? I mean, if you're a opposing beat writer and you watch that Thursday night game, how don't you say, shit?
Yeah.
My team's going to beat the hell out of them.
Most people are picking the Packers to win this one. I understand that, especially given the way things looked on Thursday. But what's the number? Isn't there a number on Tomlin the week after Thursday night games? Where
after a Thursday night game before Halloween on night games wearing throwback uniforms, one of those ones.
Yeah. You don't have that at your fingertips.
You know, I despise those white on white uniforms.
The Packers white on whites?
I hate those polar bear things.
Stormtroopers?
Hate them. Everybody that wears, I am definitely in the minority, and I agree with this. People love those things. I think those white on white look terrible, no matter who wears them.
See, I like the all whites. I think it looks good.
Of course you do.
I'll tell you what I hate is these throwbacks that the Steelers are going to wear.
Well, you got to make some extra cash. And it's not like you can say, wear white pants and go to the pro shop and have a pair of white slacks hanging up there and say, look, you buy our white slacks. I mean, you can't do that. And you change your uniform like 3 times in 90 years. What are you going to do?
Well, no, that's my point, though, is like you want to have an alternate jersey. Okay. I think the all white look looks good for most teams. I really do. I think it looks cool if you're out there in all white. I think a lot of teams like the Steelers and Packers, though, are so synonymous with their look that they don't need throwbacks. Packers don't need those weird blue and yellow ones that they wear, that they pull out of mothballs every once in a while. Like, do you ever see the Yankees wear throwbacks? No, because the Yankees are identified by what they wear.
Because the Yankees have one uniform in 100 years.
Right, and the Steelers, other than going from block numbers to rounded numbers in the late 90s, have had the same uniforms for 55 years. Stick with it. It's what works. It's what everybody knows. You don't need throwbacks.
I'm going to, we should write a list down of things that annoy me about Steelers, Pittsburgh fans. One of them is always bringing up the Steelers can't cover tight ends. They can't. Always bring up Steelers can't develop quarterbacks, how you should have the end zones painted a certain way, the block numbers.
Yep.
What else am I missing? Just things that's like, man.
All the things that I like.
Yes, it's just goofy. Who the hell cares?
It's not goofy.
The end zones painted like the 2001 AFC Championship game. Who the hell cares?
The end zones should be gold. They should always be gold.
Once again, who cares? Block numbers.
Fans do.
Why, though?
You sit up there and have your halftime hot dogs.
Oh, those hot dogs are terrible. I don't eat that. Well, although they have way, I mean, honestly, the breakfast meal is not good. The lunch is not good, but they've upped their pizza game after huge upgrade.
I'm sure the field will be upgraded this week, too. We won't have to complain about that at all since they resodded it.
Unless Pitt destroys it on Saturday, right?
Nah, you can't destroy it in one game, I don't think. Aesthetics matter. You want things to look nice. That's why you call our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. They'll come in interior, exterior painting of your home, whether you want to just give a room, a single room, a couple rooms, the whole house, a new look, whether you want to do the outside of the house, brighten it up, give it some of that fresh curb appeal that we're always talking about. They'll do it all. They do the drywall repair as well. If you're like us and you got kids who have just run amok in your house, holes in the wall, all that kind of stuff, scuffs, scratches. They'll make everything look beautiful. They can do it for your business, too. Commercial and industrial painting available as well. They've been doing it for 4 decades. Family-owned, family-run business. You want to get a hold of them to get your free estimate, get in touch at HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call at that number on your screen, 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show as well.
Yep.
So, Micah Parsons was asked about how they plan on getting to Aaron Rodgers this weekend.
Rush, mix up the looks. I mean, it's hard. When you talk about the guys who's getting the ball out quick, Flacco, you look at Aaron, they got so much experience. They've seen every look, every disguise. So, we just got to make a challenge and confuse it and just get after them.
Give them different looks, different disguises. We've said this how many times now this week. Rodgers has seen everything you're going to throw at him, most likely.
Well, am I supposed to sit here and pretend like I actually saw what you put up there and I just didn't get the spinning wheel again or what?
You got a spinning wheel. See, something's up on your end today. Nothing's working.
No, that's every time you hit a video, I don't see it now. So you might have to clue me in what he said there.
Well, the thing that stuck out is Parsons talking about the fact that they've got to work on disguising looks. Now Parsons moves around a lot. This isn't just your standard stand on the quarterback's blind side edge rusher, or pick a side and stay there all game long. They will move him around because that's what Parsons is good at. But disguising coverages against Aaron Rodgers, a guy who, like we've said multiple times over the last few days, has seen just about everything. I don't know. Maybe it's more about confusing the offensive line than confusing Rodgers, but I think this offensive line has shown over the last few weeks that they're starting to get to the point where they can handle just about anything you throw at them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, But there's always that in the back of your mind is it just a three-game spurt of playing well, or is this really something they found? You know, can Micah Parsons create havoc? Do you have to be cognizant of him at all times? Well, I don't know. Maybe you could, but maybe, I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, Broderick Jones is going to be lined up man on man to man, and he's going to have to beat him. You know, you can't take them away all the time, especially if it gets into the third and double digits. I mean, it's just, you're not going to keep Max Protect in there and try to limit your offense because you only have four eligibles.
Well, I think whatever they did against Myles Garrett and the Browns is something you look at doing again against the Packers. And again, it's not exactly the same. It's not apples to apples because Parsons will line up in different spots. But if it worked against Myles Garrett, I think you cross your fingers and knock on wood that it can work against Parsons as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think Parsons might be a little bit more of a higher motor. It seems like Myles Garrett was like, we've lost 20 whatever straight games here. The hell with it.
He wants to win a Super Bowl, though, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying the way he says
he wants to win a Super Bowl. It's not about money.
You're a big Micah Parsons fan, even though, you know, what? He just blew off his final year at Penn State just to go pro.
Yeah, guys don't do that anymore.
Well, he might have been the first, right? He was one of the first.
He was not one of the first guys.
Oh, he was one of the few that said, the hell with this. I'm done midway through the season. Whatever the hell it was.
Was it midway through the season?
It was early in the season then.
It was not early in the season.
Was that the COVID year? He said, the hell with this. Was that it?
I think it might have been. Yeah. I don't know. Point is this.
You're a Penn State apologist.
I don't have an especially soft spot in my heart for Micah Parsons. I mean, when he played at Penn State, I wanted to see him do well, obviously. He should have started as a freshman, but that's a James Franklin story for another day. Anyway.
What were you talking about? It was like 2 days ago. Didn't you bring that up to Audrey?
I didn't bring it up. Audrey brought it up.
Oh, okay.
But so my point is this. You mentioned maybe less of the jumbo package. I'd be willing to see it just as much as any other game this year. And I think we will, in an attempt to establish the run early and back Parsons off just a little bit, get the extra hands on him when you do throw the ball. And as Matt just pointed out, Rodgers has been just as good as just about anybody in the league at getting rid of the ball quick. So, you know, whether it's keeping extra hands on Parsons or just getting rid of the ball more quickly, maybe I'll be proven wrong Sunday night. I don't anticipate Parsons having a huge game like he had against Arizona last week.
No, I don't either. It's just a matter of, to me, you can see the offense, you know, putting up the numbers that they normally do. It's just whether or not the defense steps up. But I think they will. Like I said, I really do think that is. I think a lot had to do with Flacco. I don't know how many millions of times I have to say this. I think a lot had to do with Flacco with some poor scheming that they got exposed by a very smart quarterback that knew what he was, didn't even know that he was only there for 10 days. So I really do like the Steelers' chances here, and I really like somewhat new receiver to maybe have a little bit of a breakout.
Roman?
I'm having a feeling.
So, Cal, you think Calvin Austin is going to play?
Yeah, I think he'll play.
Okay, so that means three receiver sets, which we have not seen a ton of.
Which tends to mean what? No jumbo package. Oh, boy, everything's starting to come together here, huh?
Somebody's paying attention to practices.
Ooh. Well, you know, what happens on one day doesn't mean it happens on the other days.
Fair. So you think Roman Wilson continues to grow his role?
I think he's definitely on his upward trajectory right now. I really see every single week it's going like this, and I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely – feeling more comfortable with him. I mean, so, look, last week, so.
Back to a point, I wanted to go back real quick to a point you made about, you know, can the offensive line, is this more than just a spurt of three games, or, you know, do they have a down game maybe in them? I think the difference between the offense and the defense right now, at least as far as I see it, is that the offense has steadily improved throughout the year, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas the defense has been down, up, down, I guess we hope there's another up in there somewhere. It's the inconsistency on the defensive side of the ball that's driven us crazy. They'll have, even in the same game, they'll give up a 17-play drive to the Patriots but force five turnovers, right? They'll have a game like they did against Minnesota or against Cleveland, and we can argue about whether that's the quarterbacks in that case or whatever. Then they have the games that they had against the Jets or that they have against the Bengals, and it's like, wait a second, Jekyll and Hyde here, whereas the offense continues to slowly improve.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit concerned about the offensive line putting it together for a four straight, just because this may be – it's hard to make this determination. The best defensive front they've played this year, maybe. I mean, depends on –
You think better than Cleveland's?
Rashawn – yeah, I mean, close.
Better than Seattle?
Depends on where you're lining up Micah Parsons. Are you lining him up at the defensive end position like he's listed at, or is he just roving around? I mean, I like big guys, Brooks, White in between. Gary's a solid, solid starter. I mean, Quay Walker is a playmaker as well. And then we were talking about the front seven. So I don't think they're going to give up like the 7-8 sacks, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers coming out of here with, I think he's at 85 dropbacks now or 85 pass attempts now in a row with only one sack. I think that might change this week.
Okay. We'll see. We got to get into our picks to wrap the show up and get everybody off on their Friday. Get everybody off. That sounded weird. And get everybody going into their weekend. But first, I want to thank our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Another group that's been on board since the very beginning here at Cabali and Mac, and we appreciate it. Don't forget to get your furnace checked. I know you fired yours up the other day. Ours has been fired up. It's getting cold out there. You got to get it checked out before you start running it all the time. And here's the great part with Impact HVAC. You can get it checked 50% off if you donate either a kid's clothing item, new kid's clothing item, or toy. They'll make sure it gets to the Foster Love Project and cut the cost of that furnace checkup from $79.99 to $39.99. So go schedule that right now. You can message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. Or just give them a call. The number's on the screen, 412-297-1852. We appreciate Impact HVAC.
Oh, speaking of that, I mean, almost speaking of that, Do you see who's at first to goal tonight at South Hill Village?
No, how do we miss it?
Alex Highsmith.
Tonight?
And I think Keanu Benton's there, too. Highsmith's coming with somebody there, and I can't believe I can't remember who he's coming with tonight at South Hills Village.
Wow, this is big. How did we not know about this?
I knew about it. You just didn't.
I guess that's the problem.
Yeah. I can tell you in 1 second here. Alex Highsmith and Peyton Wilson will be there tonight from 6 to 7. Two of my favorite guys. If you go there, drop my name. Peyton Wilson, say he likes that I called Christian Kunst the ultimate tough guy. And Highsmith. You know, go back Highsmith forever. So drop my name and I'll charge you double.
Yeah, exactly. First and goal tonight out at South Hills Village. What time?
6 to 7.
6 to 7. Alex Highsmith and Peyton Wilson for
signing
a sign.
From How 6 to 7. $40 each per player to sign any kind of item.
Look at that. What would you
get a big ass? Go to sporting goods store, buy yourself a pro football. And go ahead and head over to First and Goal Sports and get signed. And there's your
Christmas. Go to First and Goal and get one of those little mini helmets like that my kids use out the training.
And then you know what you can do? There's your Christmas present for your brother right there.
There you go. All done. Set up. All right. Let's make picks. You got it wrong last night. I got it right. So I'm two games ahead of you now.
I still think the Chargers suck.
They absolutely dominated last night.
Well, you know, who would think? I don't even know. Honestly, who in the hell was this freaking running back that they pulled off the scrap heap?
Vidal.
You know what? Funny thing about that, he went for 117. Do you know in the final four of Karate Kid, you had Bobby Brown, Daniel LaRusso, Johnny Lawrence, and Daryl Vidal?
How do you know that?
Daryl Vidal. Everybody knows Vidal. So yeah, maybe it's a long, long relative of him. Even though if it's that, I'm a big fan.
Jesus. So you screwed up and took the Vikings. I took the Chargers.
Vikings are about toast now, man.
I don't understand. I don't understand McCarthy being able to play, but keeping up with this nonsense. He's still hurt, so you can throw a one-armed Carson Wentz out
there. They used to do that with Ben. He can be their backup, but we don't want to be their starter. Play into the game, and Landry Jones gets hurt, and here comes Big Ben throwing for 400 yards. I mean, if you can go out there as the number two, you can probably go out there as the number one.
Right, which doesn't make it doesn't make sense. The Vikings are tanking their own season. It's ridiculous. And Carson Wentz is broken. Wait a second.
I thought that Kevin O'Connell was a
boy wonder.
God.
Yeah, I think he's usually pretty good. Last night, no, not so much.
Funny what happens when you got Carson Wentz as your quarterback.
Yeah, that dude was struggling.
And I mean, you wanted the Steelers to sign him.
When did I say that?
I don't know. I'm sure you did sometime. It's not like
you're just making shit up.
Well, it's not like you can go back and have receipts or anything. Let me see. I say you did. I don't trust
I
you.
I say I didn't. So there.
Well, I don't trust you.
That's nice. That's
you
nice.
You probably did mention Carson Wentz.
I think we brought him up at one point when other teams were looking for backup quarterbacks. But I don't think we brought him up in relation to the Steelers.
Wentzylvania, right?
Yeah, that's worked out real well. I think he's played and taken snaps for like eight for a different team in like six straight or eight straight years. I saw last night on the broadcast.
Was number two overall.
Yeah. All right. Let's make picks. Jets, Bengals in Cincy.
The Jets are just awful. I think the Bengals just found, lightning in a bottle last week. I think they're going to struggle this week, but they have enough to beat the Jets.
That's not saying much. I'm with you. I have the Bengals. This one, actually, I'm going to save the games that I'm not sure about for the end.
Oh, so you can cheat?
No, so we can debate them because I'm curious what you think about these games. Miami, Atlanta. Who you got? Another team that's just spiraling the drain, the Dolphins.
Well, Atlanta didn't play well last week, but gotta like Atlanta.
Yeah, I got the Falcons as well. San Francisco in Houston.
Is the what's his face playing or not?
Brock Purdy. Does it matter?
Brock Purdy.
Who?
The quarterback for the freaking Texans. What the hell's his name?
Stroud. Is Stroud not supposed to play?
Stroud was hurt.
I mean, he finished the game last week, didn't he?
Speaking of that, you ever go to like East Stroudsburg and ride the train?
No. Huh? Just pick a team. San Francisco or Houston?
CJ Stroud had no concussion evaluation, so I'll go with Houston. I don't know.
Okay, I got San Francisco. Giants in Philly.
If it wasn't in Philly, I'd pick the Giants. But
I think I'm with you. Yeah, I think the same thing. But I can't see the Giants sweeping the Eagles. Cleveland in New England. Oof.
If they just
Drake May might be really good.
Just if they had a semblance of a freaking quarterback, I would have picked Cleveland on this one. If anybody could just throw the ball, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's that guy. I think Patriots are set up for the Vrabel game. But you can't pick against the freaking Patriots.
All right. So we both got the Patriots. Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
Tampa's back, even though they have no receivers. They're not going to crap the bed 2 weeks in a row.
Tez Johnson. I'm a big fan of Tez Johnson.
Emeka Abuka.
Been a big fan of it.
I was trying to say it like Gronk, and I screwed it up.
That was close enough. So we both got Tampa. Tennessee in Indy against the Colts. Yeah, Indy. Washington, Kansas City on Monday night.
In Kansas City? Why do they they play every like Sunday night, Monday night game in Kansas City. Going with the Chiefs.
Yep,
even though McLaurin and Debo might be back, huh?
You think McLaurin's back? I don't know.
I saw he was practicing this week, but
all right. There's three
I'm
games.
Going with Washington. I'm going with Kansas City.
three games I'm conflicted on. And this might seem stupid, but Buffalo's in Carolina, and Carolina's been feisty lately.
Go ahead, pick your Panthers. Let's see if you have enough balls. Balls. Nuts.
Balls. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Carolina. They're probably going to get blown out by four touchdowns. Yes,
Buffalo.
Buffalo? Okay.
I was at Walmart the other day, and we were in the baseball section, and the kid goes, where's that thing for your nuts at? What are you talking about, that cup? What are you talking about? I'm like, I don't think you need that quite yet. The nuts.
Oh, Jesus. Dallas in Denver.
Dallas in Denver.
Like, I want to believe that the Broncos defense forces Dak into some stupid mistakes.
Yeah, you know what?
No. But he hasn't made a ton this year.
I'm going Dallas just because Sean Payton's a freaking jag-off. Is there another team in the league that you would like to see lose more than the freaking Broncos and Sean Payton? I mean, he just rubs
outside the division. No, probably not.
He just rubs you the wrong way.
He does. Don't rub me.
Goofy ass movie with the Kevin James and shit. That was a really goofy ass movie.
Why was the King of Queens playing Sean Payton?
Just really goofy.
I think Denver wins though. No. They're on a roll. Dallas. Knicks is figuring some things out. All right, Chicago, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Everybody, it's in Baltimore. Everybody's reaction is, "Oh, Lamar's back." The other thing. Probably. I think even if Lamar's back, Chicago wins. What do you think of that?
I'm going with the Ravens.
I'm going to blow my lead in this picks competition this weekend. I can just feel it now.
You lead because you cheat.
I don't cheat, but that's okay. I'll
write them down so I don't remember what I say.
I write them down. I keep track.
Yeah, you just change the ones that you want.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
The hell do you take me for? All right, final pick, and then we'll wrap it up. Sunday night, Packers at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Man, everybody and their mother is picking the Packers to win this game.
I don't see it with the Packers. I mean, they lost to the Browns. They lost to the Browns.
Steelers lost to the Browns.
I mean, Steelers don't lose on nationally televised games at home, do they?
Look. I have the Steelers 27-24. I think it's going to be I think it's going to start really slow. Both teams are going to try to establish the run. We might have like a 10-7 game at the half, and then both offenses get going in the third quarter and into the second half. I think we get a Boz walk-off 27-24.
I'm going to go a little bit more than that. I like the Steelers in this one. I think the defense is going to quite embarrass from last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes a lot of difference. And so I'm going Steelers 24, Ravens, not Ravens, Packers. 13.
20 by 11.
Maybe a late field goal. I don't know. Why don't you just look at the 13 points is where I'm getting at.
I am looking at that. You think, okay. First time Tucker Kraft catches a 15-yard seam route, I'm going to text you about the Steelers not being able to stop tight ends, and they should have yellow end zones and block numbers on.
Yes, and what else? Can't have Nance and Aikman on the call or Nance and Romo on the call to something. Collinsworth. You hate Collinsworth, right?
Well, yeah, it'll be Collinsworth on Sunday night.
So that's another one. That's another one. You hate Collinsworth, and you have to spell it C-H-R-I-S and Collinsworth.
He's an old Bengal. That's why he didn't like us.
Oh, yeah,
Collinsworth. My grandmother. You know who my grandmother hated?
Probably Chris Collins. Probably Bob Trumpy.
Don Crickey and Bob Trumpy. She hated that team. She hated that crew.
Yep. They're against the Steelers.
Cricky and Trumpy, and you'd always get them for the Browns and Bengals games.
Yeah, get them for the Steelers games a lot, too.
No, I meant when the Steelers played those two teams.
Oh, I thought you meant when the Browns played the Bengals.
Like, I have PTSD over, what was it, 1990 or whatever year it was, when they got blown out by both teams to start the season, and I think it was Cricky and Trumpy on the call.
92-0. They ended up making the playoffs that year and was a Merle Hodge fumble away from making it to the AFC title game, right?
It was a Tim Worley fumble.
I thought it was Merle Hodge.
Wasn't Merle. You talking about the fumble in Denver? Are you talking about the fumble in Denver?
Yes.
It was Tim Worley.
No.
Yes.
I don't know about this.
I'm going to go back and look it up right now.
Tim Worley fumbled.
Was it 1991? It was 91.
I've been living a lie the past 40 years, and
I swear to God. No, it wasn't 91. It was 90, right? Damn it. Why can't I find it now? 89? Oh, this is going to, yeah, 89. Here we go. Hold on. Lost divisional round 24-23 against the Denver Broncos. They're just Yonkos.
Game.
Hold on. Play by play. I'm looking it up right now. And we're going to find the fumble. Where is it? Fumbles. Come on. I can't find it now. Pro Football Reference is failing me. It was a late fumble by Tim Worley.
He didn't convert. Something happened then. Maybe I'm jamming two things together.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. It was in the third quarter. Tim Worley, right for 1 yard. Worley fumbles. They were up 17-10 at that point. Tyrone Braxton recovers. What happens on the next play? Kaboom. John Elway, 37 yards to Vance Johnson. Game tied up. Boom. It's done. All the Steelers got after that were two Gailey Anderson field goals.
I still think that you're looking at the wrong site.
I'm not. I'm looking at the official play-by-play of the 1989 AFC divisional round game against the Denver Broncos.
I still think you're wrong.
Okay. Are you thinking of Merrill Hodge only picking up 8 yards on the third and nine?
I don't know. I might have combined it two, but I still have been living a lie for 40 years.
Yeah, Worley fumbled in that game. I still put it on him. Anyway, because if they score on that drive, I mean, granted, they started in their own end. Whatever. Nobody under the age of 30, 40 maybe, has any idea what we're talking about.
Now, they do remember, I forget his name now. Fitzgerald Toussaint's fumble in Denver.
Oh, Fitz.
Steelers are going to win the game, and I'll never forget that he fumbles. As the ball is recovered, and they're like, first down Denver, I hear Ray Fittipaldo in the press box saying, yeah, American Airlines, I'd like to cancel my flight to New England. I'm like, right, there's still like 5 minutes left in the game.
All right, that's going to do it for today. Maybe we're homers for picking the Steelers. Matt Schneidman and the rest of the world are wrong by picking the Packers, but we'll find out on Sunday night. By the time the game's over and Kaboom gets out of the locker room, let's be honest, it's going to be 1 a.m. So we will do an official post-game wrap-up of this one on Monday morning with Yins. We'll see you then. Enjoy your weekends. Oh, World Series. Who wins?
Anybody but the team in Canada.
Why are you so racist towards Canadians?
I'm pro.
Canadians are nice people.
Why would I want Canada to win? If United States played Canada in the Olympic gold medal game, who would you root for? But Sidney Crosby.
I'd root for the U.S. I'd root for Sid to have a hat trick and the U.S. wins 4-3.
Well, you
there you go.
And so why are you against me for saying I want L.A. to win over Toronto?
I'm going to go and I'm going to do a breakdown
this
weekend on how many Americans are on each roster. I'm willing to guarantee that the Blue Jays have more Americans on their roster.
Where do you lay your head at night?
In the good old U.S. of A.
And that's all that matters.
I wasn't asking you to tell me who you're rooting for anyway. I was asking you to make a pick.
I think that's the biggest cop-out ever. I want Sid to score 3 goals, but America... No! No! Well, you know, if the golden... What was the first giveaway we gave?
The framed autographed picture of Sid scoring golden goal.
If Kendrick was going to beat United States, at least Crosby... No! No.
So wait, if someone told you ahead of time that the U.S. couldn't win, couldn't compete for some reason, you wouldn't root for Canada?
No.
You wouldn't root for anybody?
I root for the motherland instead, Mother Russia or something. I think I got some relatives over in Russia and Italy.
Italy. So
Italy, Russia, Serbia, Czech,
all over.
Czech Republic.
Honky.
At least I got some people over there. I'm nobody in Toronto.
Honky's got a hockey team.
The problem is another thing is if Dodgers win, maybe that pushes that salary.
What do you what you think salary baseball's going to go? Oh, the Dodgers won. We need to have a cap now.
Well, maybe. It wouldn't hurt.
They're never going to have a cap. They're going to let the sport die.
It won't hurt.
Who's going to win?
Dodgers.
How many games?
Freddie Freeman's going to be the MVP.
That's a really good call. I think it's the Dodgers in five, but five, four,
six.
All right, let's wrap it up because nobody just listened to what we had to say for the last 2 minutes anyway. We will be back on Monday morning to break. Are you going to go? Brian Garrett wants to know if you're going to the TJ game tonight.
They play Laurel Highlands. By the time I get there, it's going to be 50 to nothing.
So that's a no?
That's a no. I mean, the boy has one last baseball game that's probably going to be canceled like the last four. So we're already switching over to wrestling mode.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, we get into basketball mode soon. Looking forward to it. All right, that's going to do it for today. Yins, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning here on Cabali and Mac. Thanks to each and every one of you for supporting the show.